an image of a tall pointed mountain thrusting into a cloudy sky, a Paramount picture. British Sky Broadcasting presents Alfie, starring Michael Caine as Alfie, Shelley Winters as Ruby, Julia Foster as Gilda, and Jane Asher as Annie. The film was written by Bill Norton and directed by Lewis Gilbert, voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. The film's set in and around London in the mid-1960s. Alfie is a handsome young man with blonde, wavy hair combed into a side parting. He frequently turns and addresses the camera directly. A bridge crossing the Thames. In the twilight, a scruffy, long-haired brown and black dog trots along the pavement on the bridge and heads past some buildings. He finds two other dogs down a side alley next to some bins. He sits and looks at them expectantly. A little white dog with brown patches trots towards him, and as a sandy-coloured dog looks on, the two animals head off and scamper towards a dark lock-up garage, in front of which is a parked turquoise car with steamed-up windows.
Here, you starting all over again?
What about it if I am?
Well, supposing the police was to come along?
Let them come. The windows are all steamed up, the doors are locked. It's like a Turkish bath in here. Don't half make you thirsty.
Here, what's your ring with my stockings?
Move over a bit then.
Oh!
The two dogs rush off.
Get your knee off the steering wheel.
I can't, I'm stuck.
Here, look out, I'll do it.
Oh, that hurt.
Alfie clambers out of the car with a handkerchief over his shoulder.
I told you before to be careful where you put your legs.
I was only trying to be helpful.
I can help myself.
He looks round.
Hello? They never make these cars big enough, do they? Well, you all settled in? Right, we can begin. My name is...
Alfie!
He glances round at the car.
Alfie. I suppose you think you're going to see the bleeding titles now. Well, you're not, so you can all relax.
Alfie!
Here, what time did your old man say he'd be waiting for you at the station?
Oh, never mind about him.
That's just who I am going to mind. Never spoil a good thing. That's a thing you women can't get into your heads. Come on now, enough's as good as a feast.
Oh, you soon changed your tune.
Well, that horn put me off. I hate the noise at a time like that. Hey, mate.
You don't forget your napkin.
Oh, what?
Do you know what I thought the first time I saw you put your handkerchief over your shoulder?
What?
Thought you were going to take out your fiddle and play.
Well, I come from a musical family, don't I? Here.
What?
Mind you don't catch cold.
He tosses the red-haired young woman a pair of blue knickers. She heads back into the car.
I've had a lovely time, Alfie.
A married woman, see? They're every one of them in need of a good laugh. You don't never strike their husbands. I always say, make a married woman laugh and you're halfway there with her. Of course, it don't work with a single bird. Start you off on the wrong foot. You get one of them laughing, you won't get nothing else.
He wanders back to the car.
Here, just listen to it. It was dead glum when I met it tonight. I listened to all its problems, then I got it laughing. It'll go home happy.
He looks down at the grey and brown dog that's sitting up in front of him and gets back into the car. He's wearing a blue blazer, striped tie and white shirt. The car heads out into the deserted, cobbled back street. The little dog trots after it.
Where'd you tell your aunt when you were going?
Pictures with Olive.
What pictures?
Just the pictures.
Now, never be vague like that. It plants suspicion. No wonder there's all this broken marriage and divorce about.
It would never occur to that husband of mine that another man would want to take me out.
No, I see what you mean. Here, suck this wheat, Siddy, so you don't smell the gin.
I don't care if he does smell it.
Now, be human. You and me are having a good time. Why should we hurt him? He's done us no harm.
You like to see everybody happy.
Well, I don't believe in making anybody unhappy. Not if I don't have to. Or in making an enemy. You could be crossing the Sahara Desert and he'd be just the bloke we'd run into.
Yeah, well, what about next week? Same time, same place?
Maybe.
I'll go and get me ticket.
She heads to a little ticket booth. Alfie turns.
What she don't know is, we won't be seeing much more of her. She's on her way out. When a married woman gets too hot on, it's time to cool off. The next thing she'll want is to introduce me to the husband. I can see it coming.
The woman approaches him.
Well, I'll say goodnight to you, girl.
Yeah. Oh, this is a ticket for the firm's dance on Saturday. I'll treat you to it.
Won't your old man be there?
Yeah, I'd like you to meet. Night.
Alfie makes a knowing face.
Oh, don't forget your napkin.
Yeah, well, I'm like the Boy Scouts, ain't I? Always prepared.
He turns away from her.
Blimey, once I met the husband, it didn't half put me off the wife. I mean, he could be dying on his bed, but if I ain't met him, I won't think about him, will I? It's once you meet. Like as not, he'll turn out to be a real good sport. His sort usually are. As I'm having it off with her, I keep thinking about him hanging up his drip-dry shirts or arguing in the pub about football or cricket. You get a lot of his sort, Chelsea supporters.
Outside the station...
Hello?
A man in a brown jacket and glasses.
Had a nice time, dear?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Good film?
Well, it was a queue, so we didn't wait. We went to a restaurant instead.
Did you enjoy yourself? That's the main thing.
Well, I did my best. What about you?
Oh, I've been going through that garden catalogue that came this morning. Very interesting. Hey, you should go out more often. Do you good. You come back ever so cheerful. Made over again, you might say.
Yeah.
Now, I'm off to visit a little bird called Gilda. And while she ain't exactly stupid, she's a bit on the simple side. She'd never make a number one. I mean, you couldn't take her out and show her off. She ain't an exciting dresser. But she's a cracking little standby. And for another thing, she ain't a liberty taker.
He gets back in his car.
Most birds go mad to get hold of a bloke. The first thing they think of is how to go about changing him, don't they? Now, I told Gilda from the start that I ain't a marrying sort. And you know what? She don't mind. She's a standby and she knows it. And any bird that knows its place in this world can be quite content.
A mousy woman in a little flat.
Alfie? Did you forget your key?
A short, dark-haired man is at the door.
Oh. Humphrey, it's you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for coming round so late, but, well, you know, I was just passing by.
Yes, I see.
Only I just finished work and, you know, I was, like, feeling a bit lonely, so I thought I'd, like, you know, pop in.
Yes, I see.
The man wears a grey workman's jacket and carries a white cap. He closes the door.
Have I come at an awkward time?
I am expecting Alfie any minute.
Two rows of three-storey Georgian terraced houses face each other across a narrow road, which a car is heading slowly down. Humphrey heads out of one of the houses and slowly down the steps towards the street. Alfie pulls up in his car nearby. Humphrey strides off. Alfie gets out of the car, closes the door, and at the foot of the steps up to the house, he turns and smiles confidently. He trots up to the house and enters the apartment.
God, you're an upper pong in here.
Oh, it's full nana. Mm. Scent of Araby, don't you like it?
No, I like everything to smell just as it is. Natural, you know what I mean?
Well, I got your meal ready.
Never push things at me as soon as I come in, go, eh? Anything like that. I like to get me bearings first.
Just as you like it.
It's enough for that and all.
He starts to take off his tie and walks round the little living room.
I saw that geezer Humphrey going off.
He stops and thinks.
Here. You're not having it off with him, are you?
Alfie, I can't bear another man to come near me since I met you.
Oh, I just wondered. Did he just call to give me these chocolates, eh?
No. He called to tell me he loved me.
Love you? Blimey, some men are funny.
Alfie, do you love me?
Well, shall we say, I like you a lot.
He leans in to give her a kiss. Gilda wraps her arms around him. He pushes her off.
Well, I will have that grub after all.
He moves into the little bedroom area. Gilda steps down into the kitchen and touches her lips. Alfie's sitting on the edge of the bed, removing his shoes. He pulls a red hot water bottle out from under the sheet and looks round.
A water bottle? She's getting a bit previous.
He stands and looks at his face in a round mirror. He spots a calendar next to it.
Hello?
It has the number 19 crossed through.
Is today the 22nd?
Yeah, I think so.
Shouldn't our little friend have arrived on the 19th?
Oh, don't worry, he'll turn up. He always has done.
He's usually so punctual.
You know, Alfie, I had a really good day at the cafe today. Took over £50 on the till. Isn't that wonderful?
What's so wonderful about it? Tell as if it was your money.
Well, I like to think of them doing well. Besides, it keeps me busy.
Any time you started that fiddle I told you about, playing a piano on the till?
Oh, Alfie, I couldn't.
That must be the only till in London that ain't bent.
Luigi and his wife, they treat me like one of the family.
Well, there's all the more reason to do them.
Alfie, I'm happy as I am.
You could still be happy with a few hundred quid in the bank instead of tuppence halfpenny.
Gilda fiddles with the armrest of the chair which Alfie is sitting on.
Now, look. The one thing you've got to get into that little head of yourn, girl, is that nobody don't help you in this life. You've got to help yourself. Why, if you'd only fiddled 5 bob a day, you'd have 200 nicker on one side by now.
Money isn't everything, Alfie.
Yeah, it's only people who ain't got none talk like that. I've always had a fiddle on every job I've done. Because a fiddle gives you an interest in your work. And I believe that everybody should take an interest in their work.
In a garage, a pipe runs from the fuel nozzle of a van into the fuel nozzle of Alfie's car. Alfie takes the pipe out.
So now a little job done?
Yeah.
A thin-faced, dark-haired man leans against the van as an older man in grey overalls approaches them.
You sound cheerful, Elkins.
Yes, yeah, some mornings I feel quite chirpy.
Yeah, but not all that chirpy on what I'm paying you. You must be working a nice little fiddle.
That's defamation of character. I'll report you to the union.
Come off it. How do you think I got where I am? I'm quite satisfied as long as you do the job well. But don't get greedy. Otherwise you'll kill the goose.
Alfie and his thin friend watch the supervisor walk away. Alfie turns.
I tumbled at once. I should never have whistled. Never be cheerful on a job if you're doing a fiddle.
Now, you're getting careless these days, Alf.
Say that again.
How do you mean?
Little Gilda. She's pregnant.
No. How long?
A couple of months.
Oh. You ain't thinking getting married to her, are you?
What, me in my state of health?
Then a number 19 double-decker bus pulls up at a stop beside the river. Humphrey's the bus conductor on the platform at the back of the bus.
Sorry, full up.
Gilda's at the front of the queue.
Room for just one more inside.
Inside the bus.
Oh, Humphrey, I'm glad it's your bus.
Are you?
I haven't seen you for so long.
Well, you don't need flinging downstairs to know you're not welcome.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I missed our little chats.
Have you? Oh.
2 sixpennies, when you've got the time.
He turns the handle on his ticket machine.
So?
He takes the money and turns back to Gilda.
I've never seen you looking lovelier. Still can't get you out of my mind. As Alfie these days?
She looks thoughtful.
He's fine. Fine.
Mind you, it doesn't hurt like it used to.
What doesn't?
Well, you know, the old heartache. Still, I wouldn't be without it.
He looks forward and pulls on the bell.
You haven't got engaged or anything like that, have you?
She shrugs.
No, nothing like that.
He doesn't rush into things, Alfie.
Gilda looks round at him somberly. She gets up and pushes her way past him. She reaches the back of the bus and stands on the alighting platform. Humphrey approaches.
I don't expect you'll ever be needing me, but if you do, I'll always be there.
He glances forward and pulls on the bell cable.
Hi, Gilda.
God bless.
She looks at him a little sheepishly, and as the bus slows to a stop, she steps out onto the pavement. Humphrey watches her rush round a corner. He turns and presses a button above him. Gilda runs down a side street past market traders. She turns and hurries down an alley, then along a raised walkway past tall blocks of flats. She carries on running and reaches her narrow street. Children are playing in the road in front of her house. She skips up the hall's red staircase. In the flat, Alfie is lying on top of the bed reading a paper.
You're late, girl.
I ran all the way.
Any news? Any reports from the front?
She lets her coat drop.
No. It doesn't look like it.
We've definitely got to do something about this little lot.
I've tried everything, Alfie.
You mean you've been taking stuff on the quiet? You don't want to make yourself ill, you know.
Alfie.
Alfie is standing with his back to her in the dining room. She steps up to him and puts her arms around him. He sits.
You're not getting cooey lately.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're not only cooey, in a way, you're more bossified. It's as though I've got to take notice of you instead of you and me. I don't know how to describe it, but I can feel it.
Do you love me?
And what can I say when you ask? You shouldn't ask, you know. I'll tell you when I feel like it.
He looks down.
I'll go make the coffee.
Yeah. Make it strong.
Alfie, I was thinking. Why can't we go through with it?
Blimey, what an horrible thought. I've never been through with anything in all my life. I mean, if I was to marry you, girl, you might gain a husband, but you'd lose a bleeding good friend.
You don't have to marry me, Alfie. I've got it worked out.
I don't care what you got worked out. You've got to think twice before you turn an innocent little creature out into this world.
I wouldn't turn him out. I'll have him adopted.
Adopted? What are you talking about, adopted?
Well, by a rich woman, see?
Alfie turns.
A rich woman?
I'd like to do that much for him. I'd be certain he'd have a good life then.
Steady on, girl. I mean, you can't be sure there's something there yet, can you?
This morning, I thought I felt him kick.
Kick?
How the hell can they kick it? Won't be the size of my thumbnail.
I'll tell you next time.
You'll do nothing of the sort. You don't want to give way to your impulses like that. Because something a woman might think natural, like as not a bloke, will find a bit sickening.
Mrs. Artoni at the cafe used to call her husband every time their baby moved.
What you don't realise is that men are more sensitive than women. Remember that big bird I used to dance with at the Locarno? One Sunday night, she showed me her operation scar, what she had made when she was a kid. A long scar it was, with all white skin round it. You know what? I got straight out of bed, I did, and put me clubber on. What's up with you, she says. I'd sooner go out and see a bleeding horror film, I says, and a thing like that.
He takes a few steps away from her.
Alfie, please. Please. Can I, you know, go through with it and have the baby?
What are you asking me for? It's yours, isn't it? Nobody in this world has any right to stop you doing what you want to do.
He puts his arm around her.
Steady on, girl. Now then. Don't break your bleeding heart. If you want to do something and you think it's right, you do it. To hell with them. Mummy shirt. Now.
He helps her down into the little armchair. Then Alfie's approaching the Emilio Scala Maternity Hospital.
You know what? She was quite happy them months she was carrying, which to my mind was a bit out of place in a way. Her not being married, see? Mind you, she came over quite beautified for a time, especially in the early months. And I told her, I says, blimey, girl, you ain't as ugly as I thought. Anyway, a time comes and into the hospital she goes to have it. I wasn't there, so I didn't know till they told me. Then, from all accounts, the kid comes out a treat. Right bang on the minute, you might say.
Wearing a beige raincoat, Alfie moves into the busy maternity ward. He looks round at the beds. Gilda, in one of them, is reading a magazine.
Alfie?
I didn't see you there. You look all different.
What do you mean?
Oh, sort of mumsy.
She looks hesitant.
I put my name down as Mrs. Elkins. Was that all right?
Of course it's all right. Put your name down as who you like. It's a free country, isn't it? Brought you some flowers. Well, I didn't want to be seen carrying them.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, Regis, how delightful. I put them into a vase for you, Mrs. Elkins. Well, what do you think of your little son, Mr. Elkins?
My what?
He hasn't seen him yet.
Here he is.
The nurse passes him a little baby wrapped in a white blanket.
He's the image of his father.
Alfie looks down at the little baby, who gives him a quizzical look. Gilda watches Alfie expectantly.
Yes. I can see more of me in him than you. What are you going to call him?
I thought Malcolm Alfred.
Malcolm Bleeding Alfred? He'll never forgive you, you give him a name like that. Yeah. He's moving. Quick, you better take it.
He slowly passes the baby back to Gilda. More new dads enter the ward with flowers.
Nah, the mistake I made with Gilda was getting involved. I was having a beautiful little life, and I couldn't see it. There was this manageress of a dry cleaner.
Prompted by a young blonde woman, Alfie, wearing a grey suit, enters the dry cleaners. He shuts the door and twists the sign to closed. Next to a rack of laundered suits and dresses, the couple embrace, and they move slowly behind the rack of clothes. He comes out of the other side of the rack wearing a blue suit.
And I was getting a suit clean in the bargain. Well, you can't turn something like that down. Then, there was this shirt up with this woman from a foot comfort service I was having it off with. She used to cut me corns handsome, she did. Blimey, I never had me feet in such lovely condition. I was hopping about like a little fairy. She's got a little ginger moustache. I find I'm quite willing to overlook the odd blemish in a woman, provided she's got something else to make up for it.
The woman gives him a pedicure.
Well, that's what we're all here for, isn't it? To help one another out in this life.
In his car.
Then there was Dora, this little bird from Pimlico I was having it off with every Monday and Wednesday when her young man was at his bodybuilding classes.
They're kissing on the front seat.
And on top of them, there was always the odd bird that came my way by chance.
Alfie pushes a pram beside a lake. He sits on a bench next to a blonde woman.
Oh, what a lovely baby.
Yeah.
Is it yours?
No, it's my sister's.
So why I had to get involved with Gilda, I do not know.
What's that brown round his mouth?
It's that bar of chocolate I gave him.
Oh, Alfie, you shouldn't.
You smell a bit milkified.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alfie. I'll have a wash.
No, I don't mind. It smells mumsy. How long are you going to keep him on the breastfeeding caper?
Oh, as long as I can, Alfie. It's the best thing for him.
You don't want to let yourself get too attached to him, you know.
Why shouldn't I? I'm his mother.
And I'm his father. But you've got to be fair. You've got to think of him. What about this rich woman?
What rich woman?
The rich woman you was going to get him adopted to so he'd have a fair chance in life.
I got to think about it. I can't rush into it.
Well, you better make up your mind quick, one way or the other.
Why? Why should I?
Well, because he might get so drawn to you that he'll fret his little heart out when they come to take him away.
Who says they're going to take him away?
Well, that's what you said. That you were going to get him adopted by a rich woman so he wouldn't want for nothing.
That was a long time ago.
She moves out of the bedroom.
You know what you've had, don't you, girl? You've had a change of heart. I can see it in your face.
And what about it? Haven't you ever had one?
Yes, but I've always resisted it. Lying there in hospital feeding him must have brought it on. I could see your face changing every time I went in. Coming over all mumsy it was.
Well, I'm not ashamed of it.
Ah, but you've got to think of him, Gilda. You could never bring him up like this rich woman could. Give him the things she could.
We'll see. I'm going back to work next week.
Yeah, she could really take care of him. Dress him handsome, feed him beautiful.
She puts a pan on the stove.
Who says I can't dress him proper? Look. Look at that lovely shawl and that cot cover and all the things for him in that drawer.
You can't learn him to talk nice, can you? Not like this rich woman could, can you, eh?
I can if I try hard.
Not proper, you can't. Before he can talk proper, he'll be bleeding this and bleeding that and perhaps worse.
I won't let him.
These are dry, you can use them. Anyway, who'll look after him when he go back to the calf working?
I'm not going back to the calf. I'm going working in the brewery. It's better paid.
What, lugging bleeding beer crates about? Now, when will you learn some sense, Gilda? Who will look after him while you're at the brewery?
Oh, a woman called Mrs. Tippett. She's got four children of her own, Alfie. And she'll look after him from Monday morning till Friday tea time. And I'll have him all the weekend. I think that's best for him.
And what about me? Do you think I'm going to spend my weekends dodging about under wet nappies?
You won't leave us, Alfie, not now.
I'll have to think about it.
Please. I won't ever ask you for anything, not a farthing, but don't leave us now. If you do,
No, don't talk like that. I haven't said I'll leave you, have I? I just felt I had to speak up because I don't think you're doing right by that kid.
But I will, Alfie. I'll look after him straight up. I'll never neglect him, never.
I'm only telling you the truth as I see it.
You won't leave us, will you? Oh, promise me, Alfie, promise.
Let go. Don't ruckle your sleeve. What do you think I am? I ain't a savage, you know. I ain't got a scarper.
Oh.
But don't you start off crying either. Otherwise, I'll belt you one for sure. Don't fill up to it.
Alfie blocks her way.
Don't jump up to him at once. It don't do. You'll grow more and more attached to one another. He won't even go to this Mrs. Tippett.
He heads to the cot.
Here, mate. It's enough of that now. I'll give you something to cry for. Come on now.
He surreptitiously places a little blue and white teddy bear into the cot next to the baby. He smiles down at the child and moves back to Gilda.
Yeah, you see, all you need is a father's voice. Don't forget, he's got hard life in front of him, so you don't want to give him any wrong impression from the start.
A series of black and white portrait photos of little Malcolm, first as a tiny baby, then as an older baby sitting up in the park, then as a little boy holding onto a ball. The blonde toddler scampers down a rosebush-lined path pursued by Alfie. At the seaside, Alfie jumps down a sand dune, then jogs along the wet sand behind the little boy. Then he's playing with him in a park.
Now, about this little kid of mine. Well, he turns out to be a real quick un, and he don't half love it when I play games with him. Never wants his mother. Always asked him for his father. Very soon, I find I'm getting quite attached to him. Know what I mean? Now, that's something I always guard against, because sooner or later, that's going to bring you some pain. So if a bird ain't got you one way, she's got you another.
Alfie's queuing next to a porter cabin, upon which it says National Health Service Mass Radiography Unit. He's wearing a blue suit.
That's the trouble, isn't it? Once you get a kid in your life, it ain't your bleeding own. Look at the things you have to do.
Next, please.
He steps up into the unit. Inside, he takes off his jacket.
Well, you can't be too careful.
Not with hereditary.
No smoking, please.
He takes a cigarette out of his mouth and throws it into the street.
Queer job for a bird, isn't it? Photographing people's insides.
Chin on the top, please.
The X-ray machine rises to his chin.
Hands on hips. Shoulders forward.
What do you think I am, a bleeding contortionist? Nice hands, though. Firm, but gentle. Know what I mean? I wouldn't mind her giving me a...
Hold it.
Next thing, they'll be taking pictures of what you're thinking. There'll be some extra certificates knocking around then, eh?
A column-fronted church with a verdigris spire. In the gardens overlooking the river, Gilda is perched on a wall wearing a green outfit and headscarf. She waves at Humphrey, who's in his conductor's uniform.
Sorry I'm late. There was a traffic jam at Piccadilly.
Well, it's all right. You're here now.
Yeah, I've got you some cherries.
Oh, you shouldn't have done.
He sits next to her and looks up.
Well, we never got that rain they promised us.
She turns round.
Doesn't look like it.
She sighs.
You had a hard morning.
She shrugs.
The usual.
She puts down her sandwich. Humphrey takes her hand and looks at her palm. She withdraws her hand.
I don't like you working on that brewery bay. That's no job for a woman.
You get used to it.
He looks down and reaches into his jacket pocket. He holds something between his thumb and forefinger.
What's that?
That's that ring I was talking about.
Oh, it's heavy.
22 carat, solid gold. Same as I say, that was my mother's.
She holds out her ring finger.
They don't make rings like that today.
No, they made them to last in the old days.
Can I try it on?
Yeah, go on.
She slips off her own ring.
No, sorry, but it's bad luck. They say that once you put a wedding ring on, you should never take it off again. I mean, that's what they say, you know. I don't know if there's anything in it.
She stares at the ring.
Humphrey.
She looks thoughtful.
How would you feel, bringing up another man's child?
He thinks for a moment and picks up the paper bag.
Have a cherry.
She looks down.
You mean little Malcolm? Well, I mean, once we were married, I could only look on him as my own child. I mean, to say I'd try to be, you know, a good father to him, if he'd had me.
He pops a cherry into his mouth, then looks round.
Here, can I have this?
He picks up the sandwich and approaches a pigeon on the railings.
Here, come on, darling. Have a little bit of the lady sandwich. Come on, just a little bit of the lady sandwich. Come on, darling. Come on. Just a little bit. Come on. Good boy.
I must go. I should be late for work.
He turns.
Will you think over what I said to you last Wednesday?
She stares at him.
I've been thinking it over.
In her flat.
Now, I'll tell it to you for the very last time, Malcolm. Then you've got to go to bye-byes. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a dream of peace and saw within the moonlight in his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold.
What's an angel?
You know what an angel is, I told you. They're on guard, up in heaven, all round God. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold.
Who's Ben Adam, eh?
Well, he's the man that it's all happening to. Now, shut your eyes and listen, Malcolm. Lie down, but don't ask questions. And to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, "The names of those who love the Lord."
The little boy has turned on his side and gone to sleep. Alfie smiles. He gets up, crosses to the doorway, and looks back at the cradle. Gilda is ironing in the main room. Alfie very carefully closes the bedroom door behind him. He moves towards Gilda.
What a lad he is. He could hardly keep his eyes open, but he wouldn't give in. Know what? He went off. Just like that.
He picks up a newspaper.
Be a real apple in a few months' time.
He sits in the armchair.
We'll have to be careful what we say in front of him. He's as sharp as a needle.
Gilda seems downcast.
Wait till he sees that great teddy bear I bought him for his birthday. It's
It's about that size, ever so soft. The bloke who sold it to me said it was a real rich kid's teddy.
She continues ironing. Alfie looks up.
Here. Do you fancy an hour's kip, girl, while he's asleep? Clough ears. I'm talking to you.
Humphrey's been to see me twice this week at lunchtime.
What's he after? A bit on the side?
Oh, no, nothing like that. We just talked a bit.
Alfie's expression hardens.
Then don't tell me what you talked about, because I don't want to know.
He wags his finger at her.
The one thing I can't bear to hear about is a bird and a bloke having their innocent talks together. You know what? I think it's more intimate than the other. What is he after?
He wants to marry me.
What did you tell him?
That I'd talk it over with you first.
Why talk it over with me? You're a free agent.
Malcolm needs a father.
And what do you think I am?
I don't mean just a weekend father, I mean a proper father.
Yeah, well, we all need proper fathers. And proper mothers too, come to that. It seems there's just not enough to go around these days.
I don't love him.
Well, I don't know what love is, the way you birds talk about it.
But I respect him.
Alfie stares down at Gilda, who's hunched over the ironing board.
Well, you'd better marry him then, hadn't you?
He puts down a key.
You've got young Buster in there to think about. I'll be seeing you.
He reaches the door and turns.
Maybe.
He opens the door and marches out. She looks back at the door anxiously. Gilda breaks down in tears. In the city, a black saloon car comes round a corner and parks in front of an imposing grey stone building. Alfie gets out of the car wearing a dark blue suit and a chauffeur's cap. He tosses the cap through the driver's side window and walks round to the pavement, where he bends down and looks in the wing mirror as he combs his hair. He smiles.
Nice, isn't it? Goes like a bomb, too. This car hire firm I'm working for, they have all the best stuff. Know where I'm off to now? Pick up a party of publicans, take them to Brighton for the races. Well, you got to get out and enjoy yourself. I mean, once a bloke starts thinking about a bird he's finished with, well, there's a waste of time for you if you like.
At the side of the building is a sign, the Westminster Hospital Chest Clinic.
I'm not picking them up till 11:30, so I'm just popping in here. It's about that x-ray. Didn't come out right or something. Load of red tape, if you ask me.
He looks across the street. A funeral cortege is proceeding slowly past. In a large room, an attractive dark-haired young woman in a pair of glasses and a white coat is sitting at a desk scribbling notes. Alfie's sitting across from her. His white shirt is unbuttoned and his tie has been loosened. The woman looks up for a moment, adjusts her glasses, and goes back to her notes. Alfie watches her intently. The doctor gets up. She moves round to behind Alfie and holds the back of his head.
Took for what, dear? Thank you.
She presses his neck. He starts to smile.
You've done this before, haven't you?
Thank you. Have you been worrying about anything lately, Mr. Elkins?
For me? No, I'm not a worrying sort.
He looks round.
Here. You know what? Gilda's only decided to marry this Humphrey geezer.
Do you find you get tired easily?
No, I'm full of energy. Always have been. I got a letter from her, see? I don't love him, she says, but I do respect him. Well, I don't want no bird's respect. I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Step on the scales, please.
I haven't got much time, you know. She's told me time and again she loves me. Loves me for myself, whatever that may mean.
Have you lost any weight lately?
No, I always weigh 12 stone 6. I've done for years. But I've never told her I love her. Except at those times when you've got to say something for appearance's sake, you know what I mean?
11 stone 9 pounds.
Get out of here. You sure these scales are right? Of course, this suit don't weigh nothing. 9 ounces, lightweight. It's a new terrylene and mohair. You don't feel as though you've got nothing on at all.
He steps forward.
The one thing I never do with a woman, I never...
Would you take your shirt off, please?
He turns.
Hey?
Would you take your shirt off, please?
I never crawl to one. They either take me as I am, or not at all.
Do you perspire? I mean, do you sweat much?
Sweat? No. Tell a lie. I did sweat last Sunday at the Lacana. I was dancing then, see, and I'd had a few beers.
Of course, I use a deodorant under my armpits. Just rub it on, quite good there.
She adjusts her glasses.
Do you ever sweat at nights?
At nights?
He does a double take.
You mean in bed?
Yes, in bed.
Come to think of it, I did sweat a lot last night, and I couldn't for the life of me understand why.
Sit there with your back to me, please.
She puts on her stethoscope. He sits and she listens to his back.
Now take a deep breath. Now breathe out slowly.
She said in her letter, Malcolm and me will be all right because I'll be at home to look after him.
Again, a good deep one. Hold it.
She moves back to her desk and picks up a clipboard. Alfie looks round at her. He taps the doctor on the back.
Oh, let it out.
But what about you, Alfie, she says. What will you do? What's your missus?
Say 99.
99. You know what? I came over quite choked at that bit.
Again, whisper it this time.
99.
Whisper it again.
99. Of course, I managed before. I managed before I met her, and I managed now she's gone.
Do you ever feel any pain in your back?
Pain? No. You know what? Last week, I finds I'm missing her, so I called... Funny, I do feel some pain there now.
Where, there?
No, a bit to the left.
There?
No, all right.
There?
Yeah, there.
Mm-hmm. Is it tender?
Well, it is when you prod it and mess it about.
Turn around, please.
Yeah, so I called round, you see. And do you know what? She wouldn't let me in. She kept me at the door.
Take a deep breath.
But little Malcolm, he must have heard me, because he kept yelling daddy, so she had to let me in.
Breathe out.
Do you know what? She wouldn't let me touch her. She drew back, first time ever.
99?
100.
What?
Eh? Oh, 99. Yeah, she drew back. I'm sorry, Alfie, she says, but I'm played fair by Humphrey, the way I've always played fair by you.
You cough much?
Cough? Nah. Well, only in the mornings, but so does everyone. You know, after the first smoke. Fair by me, eh? She never wanted no other geezer when she was with me. So what playing fair was there in that bleeding sauce?
Do you bring anything up when you cough?
No. I just clear my chest. Well, that's the point of coughing, isn't it? You know, bring something up, clear the tubes. And now, the pair of them are gone and taken my little son from me. And do you know what? There are times when I can still hear him calling daddy after me.
Do you find you get quickly irritable of late?
He gets up.
Funny you should ask that, because I do find I do me nut very easily these days.
You sleep well, Mr. Elkins?
Like a top. The moment my head touches the pillow, I'm off. I never wake up till...
Till when, Mr. Elkins?
Well, I never used to wake up till it was time to get up. That's Elkins with an S. You know what I mean?
I think so. And now?
Well, now, I always wake up dead on the same time. 4 o'clock in the morning. That is, no matter how much I've had to drink or... Can I be perfectly frank with you?
Certainly.
He moves his chair back to in front of her desk. He sits and leans towards her.
No matter who's beside me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
Thank you. I never have been partial to these all-night sessions, because for one thing, I've rarely found a woman... You don't mind if I come out of it straight?
You can tell me everything.
Very few birds can get into my rhythm of sleeping.
I see.
Yeah, I find myself lying there in the dark, staring at the ceiling. And I keep thinking about this young kid I used to know. I was very friendly with his mother, see? Nothing special, just an ordinary girl. But I knew him well, the child, you see.
I'm afraid there's something I must tell you, Mr. Elkins.
All I wanted was for her to come back with little Malcolm so we could spend our Sundays together. But she never came. Do you understand me?
Oh, yes, perfectly.
Now, if you lose a bird, you can always replace her. But with a child, it's different. They're each one themselves. Each one's got his different nature. Now, I may not be the best dad in the world, but I am his real dad. Now, credit where credit's due.
There's something I simply must tell you, Mr. Elkins.
He's come out of these loins, as they say. What do you want to tell me?
She gets up.
Look at this.
They can't get away from me. He's my son.
This is your X-ray, Mr. Elkins.
Blimey, is that me?
Yes, it is.
I'm just a load of old ribs.
I'm afraid there are two shadows on your lungs.
Shadows on my lungs? What are you talking about, shadows? What sort of shadows?
Look at this patch. You've got an infection here, and one here.
An infection? But I can't have. I ain't been with nobody.
It's not a question of...
Here, you've got to do something about this.
Now, don't worry, we can deal with it.
Yeah, well, you'd better add it quick. I want the best attention there is. I'll even pay for it.
It's just a question of rest. That's all you need, rest.
I can't rest. I'm off to Brighton now with a party of licentious victualers. We're in for a real good blowout. It's all been booked.
You have to be unbooked. You'll need rest in the quiet of the country.
I hate the country. Anyway, how can you rest with all that bleeding dawn chorus?
He looks out of the window. Down below is a graveyard where a funeral is taking place. Alfie frowns to himself.
Oh.
What's the matter?
He turns round.
My feet feel like lead.
He touches his forehead.
The sweat is pouring off me.
Now, Mr. Elkins, do keep calm. These are only shadows, you know.
Shadows?
He holds his chest.
On me lungs? I'm being eaten away. This is the end of me. Oh, God in heaven, help me.
He collapses onto the floor. A large rectangular lawn at the back of a grand Victorian mansion. Alfie, in light blue pyjamas and robe, is sitting on a deck chair on the lawn. A nurse passes him.
Good afternoon, Mr. Elkins.
Good afternoon. Here. Once you know you ain't gonna die, funny how soon you pull back to normal.
He gets up and puts a newspaper down on the deck chair. He heads up the stone steps towards the building.
Know what? I used to think money was everything. If you've got money, I used to say, you can have beautiful birds, handsome suits, a car of your own. But those things ain't a bit of use without your good health.
He heads through some French windows into a ward.
Hello, Harry. Not come yet. She's run up with a milkman.
The dark-haired man is sitting up in bed.
Here. See this chap here? His name's Harry Clammercraft. He's 35 years old, married with 3 kids. He's sitting up there in bed, waiting for his wife Lily to visit him. He's had nothing else on his mind since last Sunday, and I know for sure she'll be late. Watch it. In a minute, he'll pick up that book and pretend he's not worried and he's reading. Here, what'd I tell you?
He's no more reading than I am. He's all ears, listening for her footsteps. You know what? I ain't had a single visitor since I've been in here. I told them all I'm on silence, not allowed to talk.
He mouths not allowed to talk. A woman in a blue dress and grey coat is hurrying towards the building.
Oi, Harry, your old woman's here. Mrs. Clammercraft, don't go all the way round, come through here.
Do you think I should? I'm not supposed to.
Of course you can, come on.
The dark-haired woman heads through the French windows.
Here she is, Harry.
Hello, love.
Oh, Harry, I'm ever so sorry I'm late.
Oh, it's all right, now you've come.
She's 20 minutes late, and now she'll waste another 20 telling him why.
She sits next to Harry's bed.
I left home in time, but everything went wrong at the station.
Oh?
You look worried.
I was only worried in case something might have happened to you.
Mrs. Clammercraft reaches into her brown handbag.
Here's your new laid eggs. And here's your marmalade.
Bleeding great chunks of peel in it. No wonder we don't get well.
Hey, did that chap come about the smell at the bottom of the garden?
He thinks it might be trouble with the main drain.
Yeah, look at him. Now he's worried about the bleeding drains.
How were your last x-rays?
I think they're improving. But next time, ask him to have a look at that loose gutter. It might fall on you or the kids one day.
Yeah, killed a bleeding lot of them.
Yes, well. How was your sputum test?
Now, there's a morale raiser.
They're waiting for the results. Are you managing all right? I mean, about money.
Yes, everything's going fine.
You sure?
Yes, certain.
They're trying to get through to one another, see? Know what I mean? It ain't easy with their sort of mentality. Here. See this? Carla, her name is. Here are her skirt rustles. There's something about that rustling. I think I'll get on my bed, just in case.
An attractive young dark-haired nurse carries a glass to Harry.
No, don't let me disturb you. You can take that later.
Thank you.
I know what it must be like seeing each other only once a week.
She crosses round the end of Harry's bed. His wife gives him an uncertain look.
She seems quite nice.
Yes, she's very nice.
I'll just get you ready for your injection, Mr. Elkins.
Oh, thank you, nurse.
The nurse manoeuvres a large green screen around Alfie's bed. Harry and his wife look towards the screen. They look down at the nurse's legs, which are underneath the screen. One of the nurse's shoes strokes the calf of her other leg.
Would you like a banana?
Oh, thanks.
She unpeels it for him. Harry takes a bite and they continue to watch the nurse's feet, which lift off the floor. Mrs. Clammercraft looks shocked. Harry continues to eat his banana slowly.
Did my mother come round?
What? Oh, yes.
Was everything all right?
Well, she seemed a bit put out because I hadn't made the kids a cooked dinner.
She's mad about Sunday's dinners.
They look back at the base of the screen. One of the nurse's legs is swinging off the side of Alfie's bed. Harry starts to cough.
Young Phil's missing you ever so.
Is he?
Must have woken up early this morning.
Yeah.
I could hear him talking away to himself in his cot, you know, like he does. He kept scolding you for not coming home.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, I seem to have only just got here.
Yeah, well, don't panic.
The nurse removes the screens from around Alfie's bed.
Dirty beast.
I'll get the sister to give you your injection after tea, Mr. Elkins.
Yeah, tell her to send a blonde, the one who's a good dart thrower.
You won't forget to write, will you, love?
First thing in the morning, soon as they've gone to school.
Give my love to Phil and Shirley.
I will.
Bye-bye, love.
Now, see and eat your eggs.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry, love. I'll be all right in a minute.
Don't worry, Mrs. Clammercraft, I'll look after him.
He hates me going.
Yeah, well, I'll soon cheer him up.
The woman glances down at her husband, then heads through the French windows. Alfie strolls outside, watching her walk away. He turns.
You get dependent on them coming, see? And it don't do to get dependent on nobody in this life. They bring their fruit and their flowers and whatnot and tell you how well you're looking. And after about 5 minutes, they're dying for the bell to go, so they can get away. I know. I've watched them. And they're no sooner out the door than they say to each other, "Cool, did you see old Ned? Didn't he look rough? Keep them insurance policies dusted. Don't throw that black hat away." I've heard him.
Alfie's sitting by himself. He's smoking a cigarette, his feet propped up on a chair in front of him. More chairs are stacked up on tables around him. The dark-haired nurse enters wearing a cape.
Mr. Elkins.
Oh, hello, nurse.
You should be in bed.
I couldn't sleep, so I come down and made myself a cup of tea.
You're not supposed to.
I've been doing things all my life if I'm not supposed to.
You know what? I had a horrible nightmare.
You must have had too much supper.
No, serious. I dreamt that the hydrogen bomb had fallen and I didn't get killed. But I got some of that dust on my shoulder, see? So I rushes in this house, shuts the door, and who should be standing there but little Malcolm?
Who?
Hey? Oh, yeah. It's this kid I used to know. And then I realised that this dust on me, this poison I picked up, would kill him. And I was taking it to him. I was taking death to him. But what could I do? I had to save my bleeding self, didn't I? Didn't that make me feel rough, though?
I suppose it would make some sense to a psychiatrist.
You know what? I wish just for once I could get myself to do something good in my dreams. I mean, it wouldn't cost me anything, and I get a great deal of satisfaction out of it. Just goes to show you, they ain't got you when you're awake, they got you when you're asleep.
You'll be leaving here next month, won't you?
Yeah. I'll be glad to get back to London.
It won't be the same without you around here.
He looks her up and down.
I ain't gone yet, girl.
She approaches him.
Would you like me to give you something to make you sleep?
Now, there's a good idea.
All right, then. Come with me.
He turns round.
Marvellous what you can get on the National Health, isn't it?
Daytime. Out in the hospital gardens.
Bye, Mr. Elkins.
Bye, Mrs. Clammercraft.
Bye, love.
She walks away, waving at Harry, who's sitting in a wheelchair, an orange blanket on his lap. Alfie starts to push the chair.
You know something, Harry?
What?
These visiting days ain't doing you any good.
How do you mean?
Takes you a week to get over one. If you're not careful, you'll be leaving here in your wooden suit. Know what I mean?
But I'll be the taller lying live for to see you and talk to her.
You got to live for yourself in this world, not for others. You'd have to do without her if she got run over and killed, wouldn't you?
Oh, don't talk about that.
No. All I'm saying is, it don't do to get attached to nobody like that in this life.
Oh, what your sort don't understand?
Yeah.
What you don't understand?
What? What?
What? It's the bond between husband and wife.
The bond? What I do understand is human bleeding nature. Here. How do you know your missus ain't got a geezer waiting for her outside?
You say another word about my wife, I'll get out of this chair and knock your blood in it.
Harry, don't get aerated.
He helps Harry into the wheelchair.
Harry, yeah, sit quiet.
He arranges the blanket over the man's lap.
Here, have a fag.
No, the doc says I'm not supposed to spend more than 5 a day.
Take the notice of the doc. You've got to get yourself better.
He passes him one.
No, all I meant was,
that with a bird, you can never tell where it's been nor what it's done.
Yeah, would you mind saying she? You're talking about my wife.
She or it, they're all birds. What you got to do, Harry, you start living for yourself, like I do. They won't keep me here long.
Ah, but Alfie, I'll miss the kids, especially the youngest.
Yeah. Now, just listen to me, Harry. Just listen to me for a minute. Supposing tonight you was to snap it, you know what I mean?
You're right, and you're
no,
right.
No, just supposing. That's it, have a giggle. It's all like this,
yeah.
A giggle.
Yeah.
Now, say your old woman picks up with a bloke and brings him home.
No, Lily, she wouldn't.
Why not? She ain't bad, you know. She's got a fair little figure. Not my type, of course, but still. Anyway, she brings this bloke home and introduces him to the kids as Uncle Bill. I'll bet your kids will get a big kick out of him.
No, not young Phil. He wouldn't.
He'd be the bleeding first, especially if Uncle Bill brought round some toys.
You wouldn't buy young Phil with toys.
The next thing is, your missus will start telling the neighbours the kids need a dad. She's got to blame it on the kids, see?
What's going on? What are you getting at?
I only want you to see the truth and start getting better. Now, for the first month or two after you're gone, your wife and kids might take some flowers to the cemetery. But once she's married again, and the kids start calling Uncle Bill Dad, your little grave will become just a mass of weeds. If you walked into your own home 6 months later, your kids would run up to Uncle Bill shouting, Dad, who is it?
Look, if you don't stop, I'll knock your bloody head in.
Harry,
now,
Harry,
stop it! You drove me up the wall!
Harry, all I want is for you to see life, see what it is, and what it does to you.
Harry's looking away. Alfie glances at the ground for a moment, then back at Harry.
I never wanted to hurt you, Harry. I never want to hurt anybody.
Harry looks sceptical.
No, I suppose not. But you do, Alfie. You do.
Alfie frowns at him thoughtfully.
Want a game of draughts?
Harry's expression softens.
Yeah, I wanna.
Come.
Alfie gets up and starts to push Harry's wheelchair away. Then the concourse of a busy London railway station. Alfie in a dark suit is amongst the commuters streaming out of the platform gates.
Oi.
Nat shakes his hand.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, all right.
Looking your old self.
I feel all right.
Yeah, I've got a gap lined up for you.
I'm not used to all this noise. I'm rushing about. Come on.
Then they're walking along the riverside past the Houses of Parliament.
I've had 6 months of peace and quiet and fresh air, see? I'll be dead scared to take the car through the streets now.
Here, I've got just the job for you, then all the fresh air you want.
What?
Street photography, doing it myself now.
Where?
Up at Tower Hill. Tons of tourists. Chat the birds up easy. They're asking for it half the time. Nothing to it. Little old camera. Hold it, lady. Little bit more to the left. 3 for 12 and a tanner. How's that?
Well, I did it.
A sunny day, Alfie and Nat are pointing their cameras at passing couples.
I'm sure he's a nice gentleman. You can have it on your own if you don't like him, love. I mean... You got film in that camera?
Hey?
You loaded?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good morning to you. Nice to see you.
The face of an older blonde woman appears in the viewfinder of Alfie's camera. She's standing smoking a cigarette, talking to a man in a suit.
Come on, lady, give us a great big smile.
He approaches the couple.
Here you are, sir.
Not today, thank you.
They won't bite you.
I tell you, I don't want my photograph taken.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. What about the young lady?
Nor does she.
Now, how would you know that, sir? What about it? One on your jack. I mean, on your own.
All right, I think I will.
Vacationing?
No.
Immigrant?
In a way.
Married?
Sometimes.
Now?
No, not now. How do you want me?
How do I want you? Well, I've got two positions, straight up or sideways, depending on your nationality. I'll tell you what, I'll have you against the ships.
All right, I've always been partial to the Navy.
She strikes a pose.
You look a real treat there, you do. Ruby, we've no time to waste here. Wait, one take a tick, sir. We've got a fast film in today. Allow me, madam.
Alfie steps up to Ruby.
He's getting a bit choked up, isn't he?
Well, don't let it worry you.
Oh, it doesn't worry me. It doesn't seem to worry you either.
Well, I never let any man worry me.
No, I see what you mean.
He steps back.
Now, that's lovely. Can you hold it?
I'll do my best, young man.
Put a jerk in it.
I'll put a jerk in you if you're not careful. Right, hold it. Lovely, that's a real beauty. Now, let's get into the close-up. Lick your lips.
She coolly does so.
It's true. Now, what's the dicky bird?
They smile at each other.
Now, what's your address? And your telephone number.
She puts a card into his pocket and touches his nose.
That's three of each, be 15 shillings, sir.
The man pulls out a banknote.
Haven't you got any change?
No, I haven't.
Alfie feels his own jacket.
No, I'll have to go and look for some.
keep the bloody change.
The man marches off. Alfie sticks a fag in his mouth.
Hello, my old. How about a little souvenir, eh? So you can have. I can have a large one for 4 and 6,
eh? Alfie's sitting outside the ward.
I've got just a job for you, Nat says. Plenty of fresh air. Know what? I got the flu twice in 6 weeks. So I went back to the hire car lark with the Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
Harry and his wife exchange awkward glances.
Very nice of you to come, Alfie. Wasn't it, though?
Yes, it was.
But if I'd have known you were going to be here, I wouldn't have come. Ha, I didn't mean that.
Of course not.
You look a little tired. Don't you think so, Alfie?
I'm all right.
I've told you before, Harry, you've got to think about yourself. Otherwise, you'll never get out of here.
Yeah, but... Alfie, do you think you could give her a lift home in your car?
Oh, Harry, please, no.
No, I mean, it's a long way for her by train.
Yeah, I'll take her back. It's a pleasure.
I'll take you back.
She didn't want to come, and I didn't want to take her. We both agreed to please Harry, see? Looks real ribby, though, doesn't she?
They're in a Rolls Royce.
To brighten her up, I'm taking her a roundabout way, show her a bit of the scenery. Well, you can only try, can't you?
The large black car passes through a village.
How would you like a nice cup of tea, girl?
Oh, I don't want to be any trouble.
That's all right.
They're sitting at a table by a river.
One thing about driving a Rolls, they're pleased to see you anywhere.
A waiter in a white jacket brings a plate to their table. Mrs. Clammercraft throws some bread into the water. A group of grey and white swans gather round it.
Know what? When she smiles that little smile of hers, I'm quite touched by it. Yeah. Now I look at her, she ain't so ugly after all.
Then there's a little motorised wooden boat on the river. Mrs. Clammercraft is leaning back in it looking up at Alfie, who's sitting up. She smiles to herself as she rests on a grey cushion holding onto her brown handbag. The boat passes under some low overhanging branches of leafy trees. A few leaves stroke the top of her head as the boat continues forwards. Mrs. Clammercraft pushes them out of the way. Alfie holds the branches out of the way of his face too. The couple smile at each other. The sun glistens through the treetops above them. Then they're sitting on a rug on the riverbank.
Must be hard on you, girl. Old Harry being away so long. Still, I'd say this for him. He could hardly wait for those visiting days to come round.
She's staring at the ground demurely.
Don't worry about him, Lily. He'll be home soon.
Lily shakes her head sadly.
Of course he will. Cheer up.
He pecks her cheek and touches her hair. She holds his wrist, looking at the ground pensively. He kisses her cheek again. Her face slowly turns towards his, and they share a passionate kiss. Alfie embraces her. Lily rests her head up against his shoulder. Alfie looks up shiftily.
Well, what harm can it do? Old Harry will never know. And even if he did, he shouldn't begrudge me. Nor her company. And it'll round off the tea nicely.
The couple begin to kiss again. They recline onto the rug. The branches sway in the breeze above them. Time passes. Alfie and Lily are both sitting up, neither looking at the other. Alfie has a furrowed brow.
I don't know what you must think of me.
I'll bet you ain't been with many blokes besides Harry.
He takes a drag on his cigarette. She looks down at the grass.
I haven't been with anyone.
She starts to get up. She straightens her blue polka dot dress and steps down the bank towards the boat moored against the riverside. Picking up the rug, Alfie follows her. A young woman with long red hair and a blue coat carrying a holdall is waiting at the side of a busy road. She waves her thumb in the air. Alfie, in his chauffeur's uniform and cap, is driving in the Rolls-Royce. He looks through the windscreen and smiles to himself. In front of his car, a lorry pulls into a lay-by and the woman rushes towards it. Alfie watches the scene. The woman opens the door of the driver's cabin.
Where are you going, love?
London.
It's a big place for a little girl coming up in.
The young woman grins at him. She puts her bag up on the passenger seat and climbs aboard. Alfie watches in the lay-by as the lorry pulls out into the road. The Rolls-Royce follows it out. Then the lorry driver and the woman enter the canteen of a service station.
Hello, Frank.
What do you want to eat?
I'm not hungry. Just a cup of tea, please.
You must eat something.
No, thank you. Just tea with sugar.
The man touches her face and moves away. Alfie's loitering around the back of the parked lorry. He pulls at a securing rope around its load. Then he strides into the canteen. He doffs his cap to some of the other diners.
Hey, how are you doing?
Here, you want to watch your loading ropes, Frank? They look a bit dodgy.
Sir. What's the fancy dress for?
Got a Rolls outside, didn't I?
You're almost a stranger, Alfie. Why didn't you turn up?
Oh, sorry, darling. I couldn't make it. A small tea and a slice of butter toast, please.
He looks round at the lorry driver and the girl.
You won't get far in cups of tea.
I'll be all right.
Who's the mystery?
That one Frank brought in.
You want to watch it, Alfie? That's Frank's bird.
It's not my type anyway.
The lorry driver turns.
I'll just go and check those ropes, see they're all right. You okay?
The woman nods. Frank gets up.
Bit dead in here, though, isn't it? I think I'll have a tune.
Carrying his tea, he moves over to a jukebox. He presses a button on the jukebox and strolls over to a pinball machine standing next to the red-haired young woman.
Then I've got some old ones, haven't I?
Yes.
Do you come in with Frank?
Yes, why?
He's a good bloke, Frank. Good mate.
Yes, he seems nice.
Yeah. He'll share his last cigarette with you. Very good-hearted is Frank. You know what? He'll even share his birds with his mates.
She stares at him blankly.
One bloke told me he'll even lend his wife.
Alfie sits down next to her.
Like the Eskimos do. I wouldn't fancy that. Well, I mean, she's so bad-tempered.
I didn't think he was married.
Oh, yes, he got at least one wife. Well, I mean, being a long-distance lorry driver, he's away from home every other night, see? Funny, some blokes, don't they? I wouldn't like anything like that, sharing a girl, would you?
No.
He sips his tea.
What are you making for?
Well, London.
Any particular place?
Not really. I'd like to get a room and a job if I could.
Here. I might be able to help you. I know the personnel officer of a big toffee factory. Lovely little number, that is.
Could I see you in London, then?
See me in London, I could take you down there.
But I'm...
I've got a Rolls Royce out here. Radio, heater, the lot.
But I should have to tell that man Frank first.
Oh, we don't risk that. You'll knock your block off. Mine too. See that door there? Well, 50 yards down the road, there's a telephone kiosk. You wait for me there.
I don't like doing that.
You don't want to be frightening me. I ain't a wolf, you know. Go on, before he comes back. You don't want sharing, do you?
No.
No, of course you don't. Go on, where you go?
She gets up and walks to the cafe's counter.
Would you please tell that driver I came in with that I'm sorry, but I've had to go?
I'll tell him.
How much are you, Flo?
One and a penny.
Here.
You ain't going yet, Alfie.
Yeah, I find him in a bit of a hurry all of a sudden.
What about your chest, then?
Give it to Frank. He could do with a slice. See ya.
See ya, Alfie.
The two men and the waitress watch Alfie saunter off.
Did you see the way he lapped it up?
Can't see what they all see in him.
Frank will go raving mad when he comes back.
Good.
The dark Rolls-Royce heads round a slip road and rejoins the main carriageway. The young woman's in the back seat of the car.
Sit back and enjoy yourself, girl. Do you folks at home know where you're going?
I haven't got any.
Ah, there must be somebody.
I want to make a new start in London.
Well, I reckon you've landed on your feet. You'll have a great little life with me.
The young woman's scrubbing the lino on the floor of a little bedroom. In a kitchen area, Alfie's drying his feet next to a sink.
It ain't come up too bad, has it? All it needed was a good wash and a bit of care and attention. It's quite dainty. You know what I mean? Here. I no sooner take a pair of socks off than it washes them. And it can cook too.
A bit limited on the menu. It goes in mostly the Lancashire hot pot and steak and kidney pie. They blow you out a bit, but it does do a marvellous egg custard. I ain't never tasted nothing like it.
It's pretty fair on the other and all.
A bit on the shy side, but I find it makes quite a change these days. Oi, turn it down a bit, Annie.
Annie, wearing a light blue top and dark blue knee-length skirt, gets up and with a resigned expression moves to a radio on the windowsill.
It's in love, see? Now, when it listens to that stuff, it daydreams that the bloke who threw it over will one day want it back. What a bleeding hope. Just watch how it works. Scrub, scrub, scrub. It takes some birds like that. Not all of them.
Annie looks up.
Can I get you a cup of tea, Alfie?
Take it easy. You always want to be doing something. Here. I had a bird once. A big fat thing it was. Got crossed in love or something. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. She used to sit in front of the fire all day long, smoking cigarettes and drinking tea till her shins were burnt red raw. Gets a cup of tea, bracken chins, I said to it one time. What, it said? You paralysed. I soon got rid of it.
Are you going visiting your friend at the sanatorium, Alfie?
Old Harry? Yeah, I thought I would. You fancy a ride in a car, girl?
I've some washing to do.
You're always bleeding washing. Why don't you take a rest?
I feel better if I'm doing something, Alfie.
Oh, well, if it makes you feel better, I'm not going to stop you.
He turns.
Punishes itself, you see. That way, life can't get at it the same.
What time will you be back, Alfie?
Now, girl, you shouldn't ask me that. When I go out that door, I don't know what day I'll be back, let alone what time. I'm what is called a free agent.
Sorry, Alfie. I just thought I'd have your meal ready.
Make a meal that's always ready.
Ash or stew or something.
I thought I'd do something special.
Get those boots for me, will you, girl?
She slowly gets up. Alfie turns round.
See? Even she started asking me when I'll be back. Know what? That little remark would be the writing on the wall.
She passes him a pair of black boots.
Annie?
Yes?
When are you going to start using those gloves I bought you? You'll ruin your hands, what with all that scrubbing and whatnot.
They don't matter.
They may not matter to you, but they matter to me. Nothing puts me off more than a woman getting hold of me with hard, horny mitts.
He takes her hand.
You've got pretty little fingers. They're like a child's. Look after them for me.
She looks up at him dolefully. He leans down and kisses her on the cheek. He glances forwards.
Sometimes he gets a dead, ghostified look come over his little face. As though we're all sick inside with love or something, and his poor bleeding mind was stumbling about looking for a corner to rest in. Take the other night, for instance.
Nighttime. Alfie rolls over in bed. Annie is lying next to him in the shadows, staring upwards with a somber expression. Alfie's smoking a cigarette. He looks at Annie, who has tears on her cheeks. He flings back the covers and gets out of bed.
After what we've just been through together, it made me really mad. After all, there's a time and a place for everything. Even your thoughts have a proper place.
Alfie stares out of the window. Annie sits up in bed. She slowly gets out of bed and moves towards him.
Sorry, Alfie.
Alfie looks down at her.
Forget him, girl. I'm here and in the flesh.
He draws her to him and kisses her on the lips.
Blimey, she looked dead guilty. Know what? I was sorry I spoke. Alfie, I says to myself, she's as human as you are.
Daytime. Annie's holding some shirts.
Well, I'll be off now, girl. Like to give me a brush down?
Annie brushes the back of Alfie's suit.
Shall I say you'll be back about 7, Alfie?
You can say what you like. Whether I'll be here or not is another matter. You have something ready. If I'm here, I'll eat it. If I'm not, I won't.
He gives her a cursory peck on the lips. She stands still.
You know what, Annie? You're a nice-looking girl. Only you want to brighten yourself up. You don't want to mope about depressed. You've got to think of others. So long.
Take care of yourself, Alfie.
He leaves the flat. Then he's standing across the road from an angular 60s building, at the bottom of which is a row of shops. He turns round.
I didn't like leaving it there on a Sunday, scrubbing away. But what could I do? You know what I mean? I couldn't take it with me.
He crosses a side road. Then he enters the lobby of an expensive-looking apartment block with brown marble walls. He presses a button by some lift doors. He turns round with a knowing look.
Going up in the world, ain't I? Do you know what the rents are here? 15 quid a week. That's including central heating, of course.
He heads into the lift. He reaches a door along a narrow corridor. He takes a key out of his pocket and puts it into the keyhole.
You'll never guess who I'm calling on. Well, I wouldn't have believed it myself 3 months ago.
He enters a plush contemporary apartment.
I'm here, girl.
That's life, isn't it? You can never tell what's round the corner. Know what I mean? Down 1 minute, up the next.
You drop a tanner, look around, and what do you find?
He turns round.
Ruby!
Hello, baby.
Hold it. Gotcha.
The couple meet in the middle of the small living room and embrace. Ruby's wearing a long negligee. They kiss passionately. Alfie rubs her back.
She's in lovely condition.
Alfie continues kissing her. Ruby turns round.
Oh, what are you so impatient about?
What do you think?
Oh, don't kiss my ear. You know what it does to me.
Come on, what about it?
No, come on. Let's at least have a drink first. Whiskey?
You haven't got a beer, have you? Light ale or something?
Yes, I probably got a beer in the ice.
She touches his chest, then heads towards the kitchen.
She gets all this lot off income tax. Business expenses, see? She owns 3 hairdressers. The thing I like about Ruby, she's a mature woman. When she gets hold of you, you can feel a lifetime of experience in her fingers. Know what I mean? I find I'm going in more for that sort of woman these days. Here, don't you dig your nails in again like you did last Thursday night. I've got scratches all down my back.
Here, I may do more than that here today.
Great long wheels they are. She dug her nails right in. She's had 2 husbands. Both dead.
He sits on a sofa. Ruby hands him a glass of beer.
And I've a good idea what they died of.
He takes a drink.
She don't keep asking you do you love her like these young birds do. She don't never mention love. She knows what she wants and she's gonna get it. If there's any going. Cheers.
Cheers.
She sits on the carpet.
Alfie, don't you ever think about bringing your girlfriends flowers or candy?
Yeah, I often think about it, but I never do it. Not unless we're in hospital.
He puts his glass down.
Don't put your wet glass on my polished table.
You know you're getting bleeding fussy.
I'm not getting bleeding fussy.
Yes, you are.
I am not fussy.
The sofa flattens into a daybed.
Hello. Ah! She's in beautiful condition.
They kiss.
You're a little sexpot, ain't you?
Am I?
Yeah, you're a little lustbox, ain't you? My little lustbox. I might settle down with her. With a wife like Ruby, you wouldn't want nothing on the side, you know what I mean?
Alfie falls off the sofa. Ruby clicks her fingers.
Bedroom.
She pulls him up and leads him hurriedly towards the bedroom, which is next to the kitchen. Alfie reappears.
Here, come and have a look at this a minute.
He's standing in the pink bathroom.
Great, isn't it? Have you caught the ceiling?
He looks up at the mirrored ceiling.
Look at the size of that bath. King size. Of course, a bit of a tight squeeze with a turbis in it. You can have a lot of fun splashing about and whatnot.
He dries his hands on a pink towel.
Do you know, there have been times when I've felt lucky to get out of that bath alive.
Found himself another gal, the dirty rotten hound. Found himself another Creole miss.
A large back room in a public house. A blonde woman in a light blue dress is standing on stage in front of a little band singing into a microphone. Men in suits and women in pastel-coloured dresses are sitting at tables. An elderly female Salvation Army officer in a black uniform and bonnet moves around the tables collecting for charity. Beyond this room is the crowded bar itself. Alfie, in a grey suit, moves past a man and 2 women. He appears to be looking for someone. He reaches the doorway into the back room and peers inside. He comes back to the bar, in front of which are 2 of the men from the service station. He taps one of them on the shoulder.
Hi, Lace. Hello, Alfie. What are you having? Brown eye.
In the other room, the singing continues. A couple of men are having an animated conversation nearby.
Have you got the car outside, Alfie?
Oh, no, what? I don't think I've got the club after all.
I got this bird Annie from up north staying at my cabin. She can't half cook.
Cook?
Well, what's bleeding cooking got to do with it?
Oh, she don't like it if he don't come home for his meals, eh, Alfie?
No. She does some handsome nosh-ups.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Steak and kidney pie, Lancashire hot pot. I love her cooking, I do.
I thought you was looking a bit blown out, eh, Vi?
What do you mean, blown out?
It's just the appearance, you see, Alfie.
What appearance?
Well, you look all puffed up, blown out, sort of poncified.
Poncified? I've never felt fitter in all my life.
No, you wasn't saying you wasn't fit, was you, Lacey?
No, you just look different, that's all, don't you, Vi?
What's bleeding different about me?
That bird Annie of yours, she's putting a block on you, mate, and you can't see it. What do you say, Percy?
Yeah, looks that way to me, mate.
She's only looking after me.
Looking after you? In 12 months' time, you won't be able to recognise yourself. You'll be stuffed to the ears with that bleeding hot pot.
Frank, the lorry driver, now dressed in a blue jacket and patterned tie, walks from the back room towards the bar. In the doorway, he stops and spots someone. Frank prods Alfie on the shoulder. Alfie flinches and turns round.
Oh, how you going, mate?
I thought it was you. Remember that day you came in the Busy Bee?
What day was that? A
couple of weeks back. You was in chauffeur's uniform.
Oh, yeah. What about it?
You didn't by any chance slope off with a little girl from Sheffield called Annie, when my back was turned.
With me? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He grabs him.
You're a bloody liar!
Yeah, what's your suit? He's just come back from the cleaners.
He punches Alfie in the face. Alfie rushes through the crowd of men at the bar, pursued by Frank. The man grabs Alfie and swings at him. Alfie ducks and the lorry driver connects with an enormous man who gets off his bar stool slowly. Alfie looks over the tall man's shoulder. The giant lifts the lorry driver by the lapels and punches him into the crowd. Chaos ensues. Everyone in the bar starts to fight. They grab wooden chairs and crash them into each other. Two men exchange punches while Alfie crawls under their legs. Two women are jostling with each other too. Alfie looks up from behind the counter at the melee. One man grabs Alfie, who ducks, and the man is struck over the head with a bottle by the barman. The fighting continues. A chair is thrown at a mirror. The singer gestures anxiously at the band. Frank crashes a table over someone's head. Two men cower at the wall and embrace each other tightly. The tall man is carrying another man over his shoulders. A stool crashes into the bottles behind the bar. The singer continues. Alfie gets up and starts to make his way through the riot. The two embracing men rush into the ladies' toilets. One of Alfie's mates is thrown to the floor by the tall man, who has a chair smashed over his back. Alfie disappears behind some curtains. He pokes his head back through for a moment, then disappears again. The mayhem continues. Alfie rushes out of the club, a large bruise on his left cheek. He pauses to catch his breath, then heads off. Inside, the tall man has another chair smashed over his back. He turns, and picking his assailant up, he throws the man across the room. The man's head ends up in a hole in the top of the dividing panel between the back room and the bar. A table leg strikes the singer across the head. Another man crashes through the skin of the bass drum. Alfie, his collar undone and his tie loose around his neck, is trudging up a staircase with a miserable expression. He heads up another flight.
Is that you, Alfie?
Yeah, it's me.
He enters his flat. Annie is sweeping the floor.
I'm late, ain't I? Start racking me.
What happened? You've got an awful black eye.
He shuffles towards a round mirror on the wall, which he looks in.
Blimey, he's injured me for life. Where's that steak you bought?
I've made you steak and kidney pie with it.
I'm fed up with hot pots and steak and kidney pies. Why can't we have something out of a can for a change? Corned beef or Spam. Handsome grub, that was.
You always said you liked my steak and kidney pies.
If I get that lot on top of a skimple of beer, I'll hardly be able to draw my bleeding breath. I get horrible feeling of being full up, blown out, poncified.
You always said you loved that feeling of being really full.
What I loved once and what I love now are two different things. And where's my button-down shirt?
Your blue one? In the drawer?
No, the pink one.
I washed it. It'll soon be dry.
What do you want to wash it for? I only wore it for a couple of hours.
I thought it'd feel fresher for you.
You know, I do believe you only wash to fill in your bleeding time.
Why should I?
To get him out of your mind.
Get who out of my mind?
You know who, that bleeding Tony or whatever his name is. You write about in your little diary. You can't get out of your mind or something.
Alfie, have you been in my bag and read my diary?
Why shouldn't I?
You shouldn't, because them's my secret thoughts.
You ain't entitled to secret thoughts, not living with me.
Everyone's entitled to secret thoughts.
Then you shouldn't write them down and let me see them.
She walks away.
I only wrote them to get them out of me.
I'll show you what I think of you, your secret thoughts, and your bleeding stank and kidney pie.
He throws something at a shelf, knocking a pan off it. Annie looks a little shocked. She heads slowly to the bed and picks up her holdall at the foot of it. She opens it up, and crossing to a chest of drawers, she takes out clothes and starts to put them into the bag.
And don't take nothing that don't belong to you either.
He watches her pack through a little interior window in the kitchen area. She takes a few more objects off a little dresser, then turns and zips up the bag. She takes her coat off a hook on the back of the door. She opens the door and stops in the doorway.
Don't let your custard spoil. It's in the oven.
She leaves. Alfie stands in his kitchen with a thoughtful expression. He picks up a tea towel and, reaching into the oven, takes out a round tin of baked custard, which he sniffs. He looks up, regretfully.
Annie?
He puts down the tin.
Annie! Come back, I didn't mean it!
He rushes down the stairs.
Annie!
Annie heads out of the building's front door. She scampers down the steps and runs towards a waiting bus at the corner. Alfie opens the front door and skips down the steps after her.
Annie!
The bus pulls away. Alfie looks at the pavement somberly. He heads wearily back up the steps to the entrance and slowly shuts the front door behind him. Daytime. Rain is pouring down the kitchen window of Alfie's flat. A little table in front of the window is cluttered with half-empty bottles of milk and beer and plates of half-finished food. The rest of the little room is also covered in kitchen waste and unwashed pans. A woman in brown shoes is creeping quietly up the staircase. Alfie opens the door of his flat. Lily enters wearing brown shoes and a grey coat and carrying a couple of bags.
You're a bit early, girl.
I didn't want to be late. Is he coming?
Yeah, about 2 o'clock he said he'd be here. Oh. Here, give your bag.
He takes her brown bag.
Blimey. Your hands are half cold. You ain't worrying, are you?
A bit.
Yeah, you're all dark under the eyes.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Oh. Well. And, you can get ready for him when you want to.
Thanks.
She cautiously enters the messy kitchen. She puts her handbag down on a chair and takes off her coat, revealing a short-sleeve, modest blue dress. She takes a couple of plates off a table and carries them to the sink.
I've let myself in for something this time, all right. It was that day I took her out the river, see? Round about 3 months ago, it was. Yeah, that was something I thought I got for nothing. But don't never work out that way, does it? So, I agrees to help her and lay it all on. Well, it was the least I could do, knowing old Harry and all. See what I mean?
He opens the door.
Oh, come in, mate.
A world-weary-looking man with dark, slicked-back hair wearing a beige raincoat enters the flat.
Well, here we are.
What do you mean, here we are?
Well, I mean you've come to the right place. And this is the young lady I talked to you about on the phone.
Pleased to meet you.
Ain't you got your gear with you?
And ask questions.
Oh, sorry. Right, well, this is the room where you can examine this young lady.
And why should I examine this young lady?
Well, you've got to, ain't you? Before you do it.
Before I do what?
Do what you come to do.
Be quiet, Alfie. There must be some mistake.
You are the bloke that... the gentleman I talked to last Thursday night, ain't you?
Alfie, please be quiet.
Don't worry, my dear.
The man takes a white handkerchief out of his jacket and flaps it at the top of the armchair. He sits down.
Now, I must have a serious talk with you both. Are you two married?
Us two married? Blimey, do we look it? No. I mean, she's a married woman, but I'm a single man.
But is there any chance of you getting married in the near future?
I very much doubt that. What do you say, Lily?
But you are the putative father.
The what? Me? I'm nothing. I'm just obliging a friend.
Well, that's unusual. It's very unusual.
You are the man who is going to help me?
Her old man's in a sanatorium, see? And she's had a moral lapse. See what I mean?
And I'm not quite sure that I do.
Yeah, well, it'll never happen again. The only reason she needs helping is that her marriage would look very dodgy if her husband come out at this stage of the game. Got me? And she got three other kids as well.
And where do you fit into all this?
Well, she had no place to go, see?
Well, that's most altruistic. Well, I hope you both appreciate the seriousness of this case. To terminate a pregnancy after more than 28 days is a criminal offence punishable in a court of law with 7 years jail. Do you understand this, you two?
Alfie looks round at Lily, who nods slightly.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's a crime against the unborn child. It's a course never to be embarked upon lightly.
He looks at the rain.
Therefore, I must ask you to consider all the circumstances thoroughly before you go through with your decision. Since afterwards, it'll be too late to change your mind.
He steps towards them.
Have you given the matter your fullest consideration?
What do you say, Lily?
I've no way out.
And you've decided to go through with it?
Yes, I must.
And I might be able to help you.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, yes, have you got the money?
Eh? Oh, yeah, the money. The young lady. Got it.
Well, it'll be £30.
25? That was a figure we discussed.
Well, very well, then, 25.
Lily pulls out some folded banknotes from her handbag. Alfie passes them to the man, who licks his finger and counts them.
Right. There you are. Right, young lady, if you'd care to follow me. I'll need some boiling water.
Oh, yeah, the kettle's on the stove in there.
The man carefully closes a pair of blue curtains in the kitchen doorway. The rain continues to pour down the window. Alfie paces around the living room area. He stops and looks towards the curtained-off kitchen. He sits in an armchair.
I hate anything like this. My understanding of women only goes as far as the pleasure. When it comes to the pain, I'm like every other bloke. I don't want to know.
The man heads through the blue curtains, frowning to himself.
Have you done?
Almost everything I can do.
Can't you go home now, then?
Good Lord, no. Don't you understand? It's only been induced. It hasn't happened yet. That comes later. Oh, by the way, if her temperature rises rapidly, give her two of these. I'll leave you six.
How will I know?
Well, if she starts to sweat, give her two.
The man opens the door.
Here, mate, don't you think you ought to stay and see the job through, considering how much you've been paid?
Two if she sweats.
The man coolly closes the door behind himself. Lily steps timidly through the curtain. She walks slowly past Alfie. She sits cautiously onto the edge of his bed. Alfie takes a couple of steps towards her.
How are you feeling, girl?
The woman glances in his direction.
He gave me these tablets to give to you.
Alfie sits next to her.
You take two if your temperature goes up.
She takes the little file of pills from him and stares at them blankly.
You do look old, girl. He got his money easy. Hey?
Lily's face becomes strained.
Oh! Here, not so loud, my landlady, Lily.
Oh, I can't help it. It's pain!
Lily.
God, it's pain! I can't help
it. I'm sorry, Lily. I'm sorry. I had to do it. If my landlady heard, she'd have the ambulance here. Doctors, police, the lot. Then all this would have been for nothing. You see what I mean? That's why I had to do it. Lily. 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 Lily.
holds his hand over her mouth and strokes her hair. He carefully takes his hand from her mouth. He glances round.
Is there something I can get you, Lily? Hey?
She shakes her head.
Would you like a cup of tea?
She shakes her head again.
No, you go. Better on my own.
She shuts her eyes.
Nothing you can do.
You'll be all right, will you?
She nods without looking at him. Alfie gets up with his hand on her shoulder.
Sure he'll be all right?
She nods again, her bottom lip trembling. Alfie moves slowly away from her. Then he's walking past a children's playground.
I know it don't look nice, going off and leaving her. But what do look nice when you get close up to it? Eh?
He's walking down a deserted side street alongside a railway embankment. He crosses the road and continues past a row of shops. His brow is furrowed. He appears thoughtful. A train heads along the embankment above him. He reaches the river, on the other side of which is an industrial works. He stands looking out at the water, hands in pockets, one foot perched up on a long piece of timber. He looks up and moves to a wall, on the other side of which is the tall verdigris spire of the church. Behind some ornate cast-iron gates is the path leading up to the building, the facade of which is dominated by four columns. A little blonde boy totters down the steps in front of the columns, and as Alfie watches, Humphrey, in a grey suit, rushes out of the church.
Here, come on, Malcolm. Oh, you naughty boy, you're keeping everyone waiting.
Humphrey carries Malcolm back inside. Alfie walks quickly down the path towards the steps at the front of the church. Inside, the pews are empty. A few people are gathered around the baptismal font. Alfie stands watching at the back.
Suzanne Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The priest kisses the little baby on the forehead and hands it to Gilda, who's wearing a light green outfit and a pink ruffled hat.
Now we join together in the family prayer of Christians. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Alfie heads slowly out of the church, walking under the colonnade at its front. He stops with a thoughtful look. Then he quickly hides behind one of the columns as the little party leave the church. Humphrey's holding the baby. He passes her to Gilda at the bottom of the steps. Alfie leans his elbow on the column and watches as the group of two men, three women, Malcolm and the little baby, head down the path towards the church's gates. Humphrey picks Malcolm up and hugs him.
Who's daddy's best boy? Who's daddy's best boy? Who's the best boy in the world?
Alfie remains behind the column, staring at the group, frowning. Later, he slowly enters his flat. He stands in the doorway for a moment, looking into the shadowy room. He carefully closes the door and crosses to the brown and beige sofa. Lily is lying across it, asleep, wearing her grey coat. Alfie crouches beside her.
Lily?
Lily slowly opens her eyes and stares ahead, but she doesn't move.
Is it all over?
She lifts her head.
I'll be ready to go in a minute.
There's no hurry, girl. No hurry.
He glances over his shoulder. She starts to sit up. Alfie crosses to the blue curtains in front of the kitchen.
Don't.
Alfie turns to her.
Hey?
Don't go in there.
Alfie looks round at the curtains. He parts them slightly and goes through. He surveys the scene in the kitchen with an air of curiosity. Then his eyes fall on something to his right. He stares at it and takes a few steps towards it. He reaches it and looks down. His face starts to crumple with emotion. With tears in his eyes, he turns his head away. Lily, lying on the sofa, opens her eyes. She glances towards the kitchen, which Alfie is moving around inside. Alfie wipes his face with a handkerchief and comes back out through the curtains. He puts the hanky back in his pocket. Lily is now sitting up slightly with an exhausted appearance. She shuts her eyes and lies back down. Alfie rushes to the door, which he opens and heads out of. He jogs down two flights of stairs and taps the knocker on the door of the flat beneath his.
I could have dropped on the spot with a shock. All I was expecting to see was...
Nat's on his balcony.
Well, come to think of it, I don't rightly know what I was expecting to see.
Alfie joins him there.
Certainly not this perfectly formed being.
Alfie turns to him.
I half expected it to cry out. It didn't, of course. It couldn't have done. It could never have had any life in it. I mean, not a proper life of its own.
No, I suppose not.
Alfie takes a few steps behind him.
Still, must have had some life, of course. And as it lay there, so quiet, so still, it quite touched me. And I started praying or something, saying things like, God help me, and things like that. And then I starts to cry. Straight up, the tears were running down my face. All salty. Like I was a kid myself.
Crying for him, you mean, Alf?
No, not for him. He was past it. For me bleeding self. You know, it don't half bring it home to you what you are when you see a helpless little thing like that lying in your own hands. He'd been quite perfect. And I thought to myself, you know what, Alfie? You know what you done? You murdered him.
They're walking along the bank of a canal.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it now, Alf.
Will you lend me 25 quid, Nat?
Hey, don't be bloody funny. That's all I've got in the world.
I'll give you this watch as security. If I haven't paid you back in 2 weeks, you can sell it.
I don't want no security. I'll give you the money.
Thanks very much, Nat.
Alfie enters the flat. Lily is standing by his bed. She's doing up a belt on her blue dress. Alfie closes the door behind him and moves into the main room. He reaches into his jacket pocket and looks round at the woman. He sits on the sofa and surreptitiously puts some folded banknotes into her brown handbag.
Well, that's that.
He gets up and moves towards her. Lily puts on her grey raincoat.
You all ready? Come on, I'll run you home.
I'd sooner go on my own.
You say that again, you will go home on your own.
I want to.
OK, by me. There's a bus to Waterloo or a green line all the way. Here. This is for little Phil.
Who?
Phil. Your youngest, the one that writes all them squiggly letters.
What is it?
You want to see it?
Alfie's holding a big ginger-coloured teddy bear.
I bought it a long, long time ago. For a little kid I used to know. Catch.
He throws it to her. He stands by the end of the bed watching Lily as she tenderly strokes the fur on the bear's back as if it's a baby in her arms.
Tell him it's from his Uncle Alfie.
She continues to quietly stroke the bear. Alfie stands next to her and puts his hand on her shoulder.
Come on, mate. I'll take you out.
Lily somberly turns and bends down to the sofa picking up her handbag. Holding the teddy tightly to her, she follows Alfie towards the door. Alfie opens the door and she goes out. He picks up her light brown bag and heads out too. Then Alfie strolls into the entrance lobby of Ruby's apartment block wearing a blue blazer, a striped tie and a white shirt. He's carrying a bunch of flowers. He reaches the lift button, which he presses. He turns round and lets his arm holding up the flowers drop slightly.
I'm definitely going to settle down with this Ruby. I'm fed up with being on the move.
He heads into the lift. Then he's striding down the corridor. He unlocks a door and looks round.
You know, I find I'm not stalking these young birds anymore.
He enters Ruby's apartment and struts into the living room area.
Hey, Ruby! Where are you, girl?
Alfie?
Yeah, I thought I'd give you a surprise.
I'll be right out. Make yourself a drink.
All right.
Ruby appears out of the bedroom door, doing up a blue silk gown. She crosses to Alfie.
I was sleeping. I've got a headache. I took a pill.
Oh, sorry.
You said you were on a job today.
Yeah, but it fell through. Want a drink?
No, thanks. Maybe you better go. Darling, I've got a splitting headache.
All right, then. Well, you better have these now. I brought them.
He offers her the bunch of pink and red carnations.
Alfie, what a thing for you to do. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
But I like surprising a woman.
Well, you certainly did that.
Look at the wrapper. They're not off a barra.
I can see that. Oh, they're lovely. Really lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'll go. You take an aspirin, girl.
Yeah, I will.
That's new.
No, what?
That radio. Where'd you get that?
I picked it up cheap. You'll ring me tomorrow? I'll be all right then.
Yeah, well, I'll come around lunchtime. We might have a session.
Oh, why not?
Right. See ya.
He kisses her. Ruby looks at the flowers.
Alfie?
Yeah?
I'm sorry about the headache. I'll make it up to you.
Sure.
He spots a red electric guitar leaned up against the wall.
What's that?
What?
That.
Well, it's a guitar.
What, you doing it with groups now, then?
Don't be so disgusting.
And the radio. Here. You got a bloke in there, ain't you?
It's none of your damn business.
You pick him up cheap, too?
There is no one in there.
Well, I mean, I never tumbled. I honestly thought you had a headache. What a mug I've grown into.
Alfie, get out of here. I have a splitting headache.
In the living room, he moves past her back towards the front door. She follows closely behind him. At the bedroom door, he stops. Ruby stands in front of it, then steps to the side, her arms crossed with a nonchalant air. With a serious expression, Alfie opens the door into the dark bedroom. He clicks on the light. Ruby glances at him, then looks away. Inside, a bare-chested young man is sitting up in the bed smoking. Alfie turns to Ruby.
Why him better than me? What's he got that I haven't, apart from long hair? Well, come on, let's have it. What's he bleeding got?
He's younger than you are.
He stares at her coldly.
You got it?
He looks at her, then looks down at the bunch of carnations on the rug. He picks the flowers up. Ruby holds out her hand, and Alfie puts a key into it. He takes a red carnation out of the bunch and hands it to her. He walks away. Ruby puts the carnation to her face thoughtfully. Twilight. The bunch of flowers are thrown down into the Thames. Alfie is leaning on a low wall at the river's edge, staring down at the water. The flowers float away. Alfie starts to stroll along the embankment.
He's younger than you are. That's what she said. Anybody think I was doddering about on bleeding crutches? Trouble is, I still keep thinking about her. I can't get her out of my mind. Who'd have thought a ruddy great lust box like her would have found her way into anybody's feelings? She might have looked a hard case, but underneath she was quite mumsy. And she was in beautiful condition. Do you know, I'm beginning to think she was beautiful. After all, it ain't through the eyes that you feel beauty. It's how the heart hungers for something that makes it beautiful.
Siddy is walking along the pavement towards him. She stops.
Oi!
They approach each other. Siddy's red hair is flicked up just above her shoulders.
Siddy.
Alfie. Hello.
I ain't seen you in ages.
You didn't turn up.
Oh, look, I can explain that. I know I've missed you. I like that gear.
She appears indifferent.
Where are you going? I got the car around the corner. What about it?
No, I can't. I'm going to meet my husband.
It's nice material. Still, you always was a snappy dresser. What about Sandy, then?
She shrugged.
I'm not sure.
Come on. Same time, same place.
We'll see.
I'll wait for you for about 5 minutes.
Don't forget your napkin.
Yeah, I'm like the Boy Scouts, I am. Always prepared. See you then, eh?
Maybe.
The woman turns and walks away. Alfie leans against the wall and watches her go. She passes a young couple further along the embankment. Alfie looks thoughtful.
You know what? When I look back on my little life and the birds I've known, and think of all the things they've done for me and the little I've done for them, you'd think I'd had the best of it all along the line. But what have I got out of it? I got a bob or two, some decent clothes, a car. I got my health back, and I ain't attached.
He takes a few more steps, then stops. Big Ben is in the distance on the other side of the river. He turns round.
But I ain't got me peace of mind. And if you ain't got that, you ain't got nothing. I don't know. It seems to me, if they ain't got you one way, they got you another. So what's the answer? That's what I keep asking myself. What's it all about? Know what I mean?
He looks around. The raggedy grey and black dog trots along the pavement in the moonlight. It stops and sits. Alfie looks down at it and smiles. The dog stares back at him. They head along the bridge together.
Come on, boy. Come on.
What's it all about, Alfie?
The end.
Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Are we meant to take more than we give? Or are we meant to be kind? And if only fools are kind, Alfie, then I guess it is wise.